You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Countdown continues to Arkansas, Tennessee. On today's show, Bubba Carpenter's in studio with me. We'll look ahead to this super regional, but first a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
You know, yesterday on the show, I said that I gave Vahiva Aloy my vote for the Dick Howser Trophy, which is one of the National Player of the Year awards. And then, I don't know, a couple hours after we left the studio here, the Golden Spikes Award puts out their list of three finalists, and Vahiva is on there. He's one of three, along with Alex Lodice, the shortstop from Florida State, and one of the pitchers who's coming in here this weekend for the Super Regional, Liam Doyle, the left-hander from Tennessee. Aloy is Arkansas's fifth finalist for the Golden Spikes Award. Can you name the other four, Bubba?
Benintendi, Phil Stidham. No.
Look over my shoulder at the bobblehead. Kevin Copps.
Oh, I forgot about Copps. Dang it. How did I forget that one?
I don't know.
I was looking all over.
Hagen Smith is the other one. I thought you wouldn't get Phil Stidham. You guys played together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that kind of gets forgotten a little bit because he was in the Golden Spikes Award. I think he'd been out for about 13 years or so whenever he was a finalist, but not a lot of people, you know, remember that like they remember Benintendi and Copps and Hagen and obviously Vahiva now.
I mean, I knew Hagen. I can't believe I didn't say Hagen or Copps.
I can't believe you didn't say Copps.
Yeah, I know. Wow. It's early still.
Yeah, you got the sleepies.
But yeah, Stidham back in the day was like unhittable. Mm-hmm. Like when he came in, he led the nation in ERA, I think, like 2 years in a row. But yeah, no one remembers that. So it was a long time ago.
You remember it?
Yeah.
You do. Vahiva, what do you think about his candidacy to win this?
I think if you watch him play like we have, he's the guy that should get the vote. But, you know, Lodice, I mean, if you look at his numbers, I don't know much about him. I've watched some videos, watched some of his highlights. I don't know a lot about him.
Mm-hmm. He's got better, he's got a better batting average. His power numbers are slightly lower than Vahiva's. And then, you know, the thing about defense, I think they both have 5 errors this year. And you don't see, you know, all you really see defensively, unless you watch their games, you know, inning by inning, is the highlights. And I've seen a couple from him, you know, the Jeter type, you know, jump throws from shortstop that we've seen Vahiva make too. So I don't know that you can go wrong with either of them. And then, you know, I mean, Liam Doyle, he's the best pitcher in the country. Now, whenever I turned in the Dick Howser Trophy, I actually had Cade Anderson ahead of him.
Right.
And I said this yesterday, I was influenced a little bit by the two times that I saw Cade Anderson. He pitched really well. He pitched well against Arkansas, and he pitched well against A&M whenever I stuck around and watched that game in Hoover a couple of weeks back. You can't go wrong, I think, with any of these three.
Yeah. Lodice's numbers are really good. I think he's got 17 home runs. Vahiva's got 20. But I think it, you know, and of course we get to see Vahiva every day. And I just watch the plays that he makes, Matt, and what he brings to this team and where we would be without the team. I'm sure the other two guys, you can say the same thing about them for their team. Mm-hmm. But he's incredible. I mean, he really is. Just his ability to, like, defensively just make the routine plays. The great players make the routine plays. And we take it for granted with Vahiva. I mean, it's pretty impressive. And then he makes the spectacular play as well, you know, not to mention the home runs, the RBIs, all that. I mean, it's for me, that's he gets my vote. I don't know about Liam Doyle because I haven't – I've seen him get hit a little bit against good teams, but his numbers are good. But it's not like Kevin Copps good or Hagen Smith good.
Kevin Copps is a high bar.
Yeah,
it's a really high bar. I mean, it's amazing. You look at the numbers that he had in 21, and they're phenomenal. But if you go back and you look at the numbers that he had before the postseason, and it wasn't like he had a bad postseason, but if you go back and look at the numbers he had before the postseason, it was just like you're almost looking at him and you're thinking, is this really real? Did they mean to put a zero here, or is there supposed to be a one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy. That year will never be repeated.
No.
Something like that.
Especially not – well, and what made that one so special was that it was a relief pitcher.
Yeah.
And the volume that he was able to take on and pitch, you know, the two, three times a weekend. God, what did he throw in the postseason? Like 23 innings over two weekends?
Yeah.
It was incredible.
But, you know, what's crazy is the year before he had the worst stats on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about a turnaround. You know, I mean, with smaller rosters, he might not have been on the roster that year.
I think we talked about this on the podcast. I wrote something back in March on the 5-year anniversary of the COVID shutdown. And, you know, all of the coaches over there believe that Heston Kerstad was going to either be a finalist, or if you ask Matt Hobbs, he was going to win the Golden Spikes in 2020. So Arkansas may have had a Golden Spikes year taken away from them. But on the flip side, you probably don't get 2021 Kevin Copps without the 2020 season getting shut down.
Yeah, you're right. But I agree on Heston. I mean, I would have loved to have seen him play out that full season. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, in the fall, watching him, I don't know if he made an out in the fall.
Yeah, there weren't any, what'd they say? There weren't any easy outs. There weren't any quiet outs with him. Everything was loud, even when he would make contact. All right, going to this weekend's series, what you got to do is you got to look back at what's gone on previously between these teams earlier this year, really just a few weeks ago here in Fayetteville at Baumwalker Stadium. I know they have been breaking down the film of that series in the week leading up to this game here at Arkansas, and I'm sure they're probably doing the same thing in Knoxville. What stands out to you about what you saw that weekend?
Well, I think about our pitching staff. I mean, you look at our starters. Our starters went a combined 9 innings and gave up 10 runs. Who would have ever thought if you knew that going in that we would have won the series? I mean, the bullpen was huge for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think our offense did a really good job. Day one against Phillips, I didn't think we were that good. He had pretty good stuff. It took us a little bit to get, you know, to figure him out. But the rest of the weekend, I thought we were pretty good. I thought we hit the ball pretty good. We just got to get better starting pitching. But I tell you what, the bullpen was huge that weekend. The numbers that they put up, they came in, and then, you know, we know what McIntyre did. So that's kind of what stands out with me. I loved our approach against Doyle. We laid off the pitch up in the zone. After the first inning, we laid off the pitch up in the zone. Got pitches down in the zone and hammered them. I went back and looked, and in Thursday's game, we hit 13 hard hit balls. That's anything over 95 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Friday was 12 hard hit. Saturday, 11 hard hit. Off of Liam Doyle, we hit 7 balls over 100 miles an hour in 4 2/3 inning. That's pretty good. No one else has hit him that hard. So, I mean, I thought we did a pretty good job against him.
I think didn't we look up his numbers, and he wasn't quite as good on the road as he had been at home this year?
I don't know. I didn't look at it.
I think we said that earlier this year. And of course, you know, he followed up the Arkansas outing with the game against Texas and Hoover that wasn't very good at all either. I don't know how much the blister was bothering him in those two, because obviously that was something that was discussed at that time. He looked really good, I thought, in the two outings that he had the other day. I wonder how they use him, though, this week, given that he did throw 135 pitches last weekend. I mean, can you throw him game one? It seems like it would be awfully risky to do that.
I think it's risky, especially if you're expecting him to go 100 pitches for you. That's a lot of pitches. That's a guy that's he's a max effort guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's throwing upper 90s. It's not like he's, you know, just an easy, you know, lefty throwing upper 80s, low 90s, nice and smooth. I mean, he's a guy that works like he does. I don't know, Matt, that they could bring him back on that short of rest. And if they do, I don't know if he can be as good, or if he is as good, if he can sustain that for that many pitches. I don't know. That's a lot of work on an arm. He's a strong kid. Maybe he can do it.
I think one of the keys to this super regional is, you know, adjustments, both sides. And then how do you adjust to the other team's adjustments, if you know what I mean?
You're right.
You know, because like Tennessee, you talked about Doyle, and he didn't pitch well. I mean, Zach Root didn't have a good outing. Mm-mm. Gage Wood didn't have a very good outing. But then you look at all three of those. You throw Marcus Phillips, Tennessee's other, you know, primary starter in there last week. I thought everybody pitched really well in their regional. And so it feels like, can one team get one good start? Because that may be the difference to this Super.
Unfortunately, you're right. I think we have the advantage because we've seen Marcus Phillips now. And he was good. Marcus Phillips was better than I thought he was going to be. I mean, the guy's got good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Was he a converted infielder? I think he's a converted infielder.
Is he? I didn't know that.
I think so. I think he was at Iowa Western. I think he was at an Iowa community college. I think he played infield, and the coach there told one of Tennessee's coaches, like, hey, you might want to take a look at him on the mound. And then he's just obviously flourished.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well for him.
I'd say so.
But, no, I thought he was really good. And Liam Doyle, we kind of knew going in how good he was, what he was going to do to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we had a pretty good idea. We know he's going to try to get us to chase that high fastball. It's got high carry. I want to say the scouting report, I can't remember. It might have, on him, might have been plus-plus carry. Mm-hmm. It rides up. It almost has the appearance of like it rises. It doesn't, but it looks like it does. But Marcus Phillips is the one that, if we could figure him out, I mean, I think we'll be in good shape. And see, they didn't see a good Zach Root, so they haven't seen Zach at his best or Gage at his best. So I think the advantage for starting pitching goes back to us.
Gage is a wild card, I feel like, because what you just said, they haven't, like, and I don't know that until last weekend Arkansas had seen Gage Wood at his best. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not only at his best, but at his best and unshackled. Like, he was really good against Texas for the four innings, or I think it was four innings that he got to throw against Texas. Really good at Florida for the three innings. But obviously, it was once you hit a certain pitch count, you can't go any further.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I mean, we all know that there's a limit, you know, for everybody. But he's now at the point that he can give you the what you would call traditional starter innings. And he got into a little bit of trouble against Creighton, a couple of innings with his pitch count. I think he had two 22-pitch innings. But then he also showed against Creighton, he's got the capability to get you out of there in like 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
And it's not all ground balls either. I mean, he can get you he can get you a couple strikeouts in 10 pitches. I don't know. I feel like he's a big wild card to this weekend just because last week I felt was a big eye-opener for him.
So I think his fastball plays against this lineup really well. But their swing paths, if he can locate that fastball upper 90s at the top of the zone, I think Tennessee will struggle with it just based off of what I've seen in their swings.
So here's the thought, because he may end up pitching against Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them rely on that high fastball.
Behind
the plate?
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Who's behind the plate, and how does that affect them if they're not getting that call?
Yeah, we were talking about this last night, me and a couple of our coaches. I said, probably more so than any game of the year, if those two are matched up against each other, or even it doesn't even matter if they are, whoever, when Doyle pitches, and the zone is so important. I know when he pitched last time, he didn't get that ball at the top of the zone. Like, they weren't calling it. Mm-hmm. And then he had to come down in the zone. You bring that thing down in the zone, we're going to hammer it. But I think it's real important who's behind home plate. You know, you look at some of the pitchers, Nolan Johnson wasn't getting a call at the top of the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last week in the regional. And
then Root got a very friendly strike zone that he was pitching into.
Yeah.
That's great, I thought.
Yeah, and he was pitching at the bottom of the zone, getting calls at the bottom of the zone. Well, he was getting a lot of calls, but he was locating all around the zone. And so I do think it's really important who's behind the dish.
I think that this is an Omaha-caliber matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been some talk this week. I don't know if there's been a whole lot, but there's been some about should you reseed teams after the regionals in order to have better matchups, maybe. I don't know about better matchups, but basically where you can get more quality teams to Omaha. You know, and there's two ways of thinking about this. Number one, I think you want the good teams to be there playing for the College World Series, but everybody loves the underdog. Everybody loves the fact that you're going to have a Murray State Duke matchup where you've got two teams that I don't know if Duke has been to the World Series, but they've been. It's not very often that they go, and obviously Murray State's never been. What are your thoughts on like would you reseed the teams before the Super Regionals? Yeah. And then I guess if you do that, you've got to do it again before Omaha.
Yeah, I think it should be reseeded, but I think a lot of people like the way it is because of that reason. You mm-hmm. get, you know, they want to see that underdog. I just think it's a shame that us in Tennessee are playing in a super regional where we're two of the best teams in the country. Both these teams should be in Omaha. And that's probably going to make a lot of people mad if anyone watches this that's not from Tennessee mm-hmm. or Arkansas. But it's a shame when two of the best teams in the country are knocking each other out in a super regional. I don't know. I don't like it.
Like in the NFL, they reseed.
Yeah.
You know, that when the first round is over, they set the matchups based on the teams that are left. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world, but, you know, it's not going to happen. If they reseeded this week, by the way, Arkansas would play Murray State because Arkansas would be the one seed. Murray State, being a four, would be the lowest seeded team left. Auburn would be the two. North Carolina would be the three. LSU the four. Oregon State 5. Florida State 6. Coastal Carolina 7. And Tennessee would be the 8. And I haven't looked up who Tennessee would play. I assume it would be UCLA, actually. Tennessee would be playing UCLA in Knoxville for a super regional this weekend if they reseeded the teams.
Yeah, that'd be way better. I'm sorry. I think it would. But, you know, there's no need talking about it, I guess, because it's not going to happen. But who knows? I mean, the thing I've known all along is there's not a lot of common sense with some of the stuff that goes on, some of the rules. So I try not to question it. I just go with it.
Who do you think would be Arkansas's third starter? Do you? Because here's my opinion on this. I think it's going to be whoever's the best available if they get to that third game. But yeah. I don't think if they got a chance if they got a chance in game two to go get the win that day, they ain't going to be holding anybody back. They're going to go all in to try to win each game and then reassess and reevaluate who they have left after that.
Yeah. Our best number three starters, TBA. We're going to do just what you said. Whoever isn't used will be, if there's a game three, will be game three. Whoever hasn't thrown a lot. I mean, for that matter, you could open with Parker Coyle and give him a few innings. I think I have a feeling we'll use Parker Coyle on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday.
Do you think Gabe Gackel might make his way back into the starting rotation?
No, because I think we're going to need him in one of those games.
Okay.
Now, if our starters are dominant and we can get deep enough into a game, maybe not. But I think Gabe is so valuable coming in after. I love the combination of – he's good behind anybody. The problem with him following Gage is mm-hmm. they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
They're really similar.
But it's been effective.
It has been effective. But have we done it against a Tennessee yet?
That's a good question.
Would it be as effective?
I'm trying to think what was the best game where they piggybacked this year?
Last weekend.
Well, okay. Outside of that, that's Captain Obvious. Outside of that, maybe Florida? Yeah, I mean, Gage went three innings. I think Gabe went three innings that day.
Yeah, might be.
I think Gabe pitched after Gage on the Texas week two. That was a pretty good night for pitching.
Did he follow him, or did he follow Zach?
I thought he did.
Zach? I don't know. Maybe you're probably right. You're way better with that stuff.
Don't never be too sure. All right, moving on. Do you think Arkansas starting pitching is back on track? I mean, because there was some thought. I mean, obviously there was a lot of concern going into the latter weeks of the year that starting pitching wasn't giving Arkansas what they needed. Tennessee series contributed that. Like you said, they only got nine innings from their starters. Do you think it's back on track right now?
Okay, so a lot of it, and here's what – I mean, it's like if you dominate – like when against Texas. Texas doesn't hit very well, but our pitchers do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Against Tennessee, they didn't do as well, but Tennessee's a really good lineup. It's hard to maneuver that lineup. You know, I look at how good the stuff is. Not necessarily the result. I mean, there's been times that we've had guys that have had good stuff that didn't do well. They got hit around. But I just think we were locked in last weekend. I think feeding off the Baumwalker crowd, I don't know. I just think they're – I do. I think they're back on track right now. I think Zach's going to throw a really good game, and we'll see what happens. I do know that he's got to be able to locate against his team and change speeds. You can't fall into a rut against the Tennessee team. I mean, you look at him, 128 home runs. I haven't checked the weather yet. I'll start checking the weather probably tomorrow just curious to see where the wind's going to be blowing, because that could have a huge effect, whether we got a south wind or a little north wind drifting out. So, but I guess the short answer is yes. I think our starting pitching's back on track, and I think we're going to do well this weekend.
Do you want to know the wind right now? I got it right here.
Is it good or bad?
Well, I would say, you know, both of these directions, you're going to have the wind blowing out in some fashion. So on Saturday, it's supposed to be more of a southwest wind. So mm-hmm. that's going to be more blowing out toward left. And on Sunday, it's going to be more of a northwest wind. So that's going to be more blowing out towards center and right field.
Yeah. You know, we're similar in power numbers. I don't know that it matters. If it's blowing out, I mean, it's going to help both teams. If it's blowing in, I mean, we've got guys on both sides of the field that can hit it through the wind.
I'll say this about the wind. It doesn't look like it's going to be very high winds either day, like, you know, maybe 5-10 miles an hour. If 10 miles an hour, calm may be the right way to say that you're looking at the wind this week. Does it matter that they don't have a third starter?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, I really think it's about getting, you know, we go back to the 81 outs. Well, hopefully we don't have to get that many. But
I said, like, with Gackle, well, they got to get at least – oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, maybe 54. I see. Take me. I'm asleep too, by the way. With Gackle, it's almost like he can reverse start for them, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So does it matter – and you said no, that it doesn't matter that they had a third starter. I guess – what you're saying here is that it doesn't matter where the outs are coming from,
right,
just so long as you're getting the outs. Doesn't matter if it's you bring a guy in the third inning and takes you to the seventh or whatever the case might be.
I think the key when you're facing a lineup like Tennessee is to give them different looks. So, you know, if you had a situation where you did an opener, he goes one time through the lineup, bring someone else in, let him go.
Do you like the concept of the opener?
I didn't.
I've gotten to where I do. I'm kind of like you, I think.
Yeah. In the beginning, I'm like, what, another term? Can we just play baseball? But I do like it. You know, it's one of those things you're getting outs. You're counting outs. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing when I'm coaching. I do the same thing when I'm up in the booth. I start counting outs. And I start looking at, okay, when is this lineup going to roll over? And when I'm in the fifth inning, I start looking ahead and saying, okay, when is this lineup going to roll back over? When's Fisher going to come back to the plate? When is the top of that lineup? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure Dave probably does the same thing. I mean, I think most coaches do that. But you're trying to maneuver through that lineup and have the best matchups possible. If it's one dude mowing them down, great. If you've got to show different looks to them, show different looks. I look at how we got through, you know, when Zach Root started. Well, let's don't look at that one. I mean, look at Cole Gibler. 3 innings, 3 hits, no runs. Parker Coyle, 1 and 3rd, three. He gave up 2 runs. But Christian Fouch, 2 innings, 1 hit, no run. I mean, we were able to maneuver through there. And then Will McIntyre. Vital Cheese was okay. He wasn't that good. But, I mean, I think we're all better right now. Yeah. I feel like our staff is feeling really good. You know, we talk about hitting, being confident. You know, there's a fight at the bat rack. Everyone wants to hit. I think right now the pitching staff is really – there's something about – they take the mound different now. And, you know, even – I don't know, even Matt Hobbs seems different to me. He seems a little bit more, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't know. I love the way our guys take the mound, and we're attacking hitters right now, and I love it.
You know, they say that pitchers will tell you how long to throw them. And mm-hmm. Vitalcheese, you said he wasn't as good against Tennessee. I actually thought he was really good for 2 innings, mm-hmm. and then he ran out of gas in the third. And then last week against North Dakota State that he pitched? He pitched 2 innings, and so maybe he's a 2 inning guy for you. Maybe he's a 4 to 5 out guy for you.
I think I like him out of the pen where he can come in and just let it go. you know, don't hold back. Just let it go for a couple innings and get however many outs you can. Like I said, his stuff will tell you when he's done, and then go to the next guy.
Tennessee's going to be without their starting catcher in game one. Cannon Peebles got thrown out in the eighth inning of the game against Wake the other night, apparently for saying something to the Wake Forest catcher who had said something to him first. So it'll be Stone Lawless. He is a redshirt freshman from Huntsville, Alabama. He'll be behind the plate. Tony Vitello, I think, said that he's like one of the best teammates on the team after the game the other night. What do you think the significance, if at all, of Tennessee missing its catcher in game one will be? And maybe to piggyback on that, potentially having not Doyle out there, in game one too.
No, I think it's huge. I was looking at his numbers right there where you were talking. Offensively, he had 5 RBIs against us, had multiple. He had a few big hits against us.
And a broken helmet.
Yeah, and the helmet broke with an 0-2 count. They have a lot of issues with 0-2 counts. Their bat gets slick. I notice that the handle of the bat always gets slick when they get 2 strikes. It's crazy.
This is not just Tennessee. I was watching a lot of college baseball this weekend. I saw more hitters lose their bats this weekend and have to go to the sticky stuff to hold on to their bats than I think I've ever seen before. Maybe it's the humidity.
You mean like with. it actually slipped out of their
hands? Yeah, no, I mean like I saw probably like 3 different instances of a guy. It happened in the Little Rock LSU game. Bat nearly hit Jay Johnson.
Oh, I saw that.
And it just like I saw more times this weekend where players lost their bats during their swing than I think I've ever seen in one weekend.
Well, I've never seen a bat slip out of a Tennessee batter's hands, but it seems with 2 strikes, they always need to go get the sticky stick.
They're worried about it happening.
Yeah, it's just safety, safety first, right? But no, you look at Peebles, back to your question you asked me. Offensively, I think that's a huge hit for him because dude swings it. But I think catching-wise, I mean, it's big too. I mean, think about if Helfrich missed the game, maybe the game that Zach Root throws, because him and Zach work really well together. Ryder does a good job calling a game in general, but I mean, just think if that were different. That's a big hit when you lose your catcher for one of the biggest games of the year. Your starting catcher, I think, it's a big deal.
It kind of feels like we're the thought process for this super is kind of like what it was for the game or the series that they had up here earlier this year, where, you know, it was Root pitching game one and Doyle pitching game two. And we don't know if that's going to be the case, but I suspect it might be the case this week.
Right.
And we're like, Arkansas's got to win game one. They got to win game one. You know, don't leave it in the hands of Liam Doyle. And then they beat him. But it does, I don't know, winning game one of the super, regardless of who's pitching, it's very important. I mentioned this yesterday, and I actually got one of the series wrong. Arkansas beat Clemson in 02 in 2002 in game one. But in 10 super regionals for Arkansas previously, the winner of game one, be it the Razorbacks or whoever they're playing, has gone on to win the super 7 out of those 10 times. It just feels like, and we were talking last week about, or earlier this week, about how Vanderbilt, it just felt like they had pressure on them the whole weekend when they were playing the regional.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like when you get into the super, after you lose game one, there's an intense pressure on you, it feels like, in game two.
I agree. But I think the thing that helps us is we're playing at home, and I want to say I saw 69.5%.
Yes, right, teams, at 70%.
Yeah, at home win since 1999. Hey, one more thing on Peebles. I think it would be – it's worse to lose him against Marcus Phillips because, you know, he's a fastball slider. He's got – you know, he pitches different. Liam, I think he could pitch to anybody because he's in control. He knows what he's going to throw. Mm-hmm. He knows what he wants to throw. And it's pretty cut and dry what his best pitch is. I think not having Peebles with Marcus Phillips is worse than not having him with Liam Doyle.
You think maybe they need a better blocker?
Yeah, someone that can block the slider in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they can call pitches from the dugout, you know, because he's not going to be calling that. I don't think they're going to trust him to call the game. I don't know. But I just think if that's the matchup with him behind the plate with Marcus Phillips, I think it hurts him a little bit more. Just my opinion.
It's fascinating. I mean, the catcher is that one position. It's kind of like losing your center in football.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really think about it until it happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. It'll be interesting to see how this goes. They're not going to have, though, Cannon Peebles for game one. He will be able to play in game two of the Super Regional. When we come back, we're going to look around the SEC. We'll look, give you some numbers about Arkansas Super Regional history, kind of some interesting stuff that I dove into yesterday and much more. But first, another word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. I want to tell you, too, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. Not a very busy week in the SEC. Not a real good regional for the conference. Just three supers that will include SEC teams this week. Obviously, you have got the series here in Fayetteville between Arkansas and Tennessee. And then, you know, on the same side of the bracket, if LSU gets through at its home super against West Virginia, LSU will play the winner here in Fayetteville. The other SEC super regional that's occurring this weekend, Auburn is going to be hosting Coastal Carolina. What do you think about these other two matchups in the SEC?
They're going to be good. I mean, who do you pick in LSU, West Virginia?
LSU.
Yeah. I just think they're starters. Those two guys, Cade Anderson, what's his name? The other dude.
Oh, Anthony Ianson.
Ianson, yeah, they're good. Mm-hmm. That's a really good 1-2 punch.
The super, that's where you like having those two really dominant starters.
Yeah, I mean it's tough to beat those guys. Now mm-hmm. if they can manage to beat one of those guys, they got a shot. I mean, obviously,
West Virginia can score.
Yeah,
they're one of the best scoring teams in the country. It's tough to beat LSU in Baton Rouge. I mean, they've been as good at home basically this year as Arkansas has been at bomb.
Yeah. I mean, so that's tough. But, you know, I think LSU is going to get through that one. But I don't think it's going to be easy for them.
Auburn and Coastal. I would be surprised if Auburn doesn't get through. Hey, here's maybe some good luck for Arkansas, or maybe like a good omen, is that in the years under Butch Thompson, when Auburn has gotten to the College World Series, Arkansas has also been there. So – there's that.
Well, there you go. We're set then, right?
Well, I mean,
do you look at stuff like that for real, or do you just?
I look at it. I mean, I notice it. I'm not sitting there like placing bets like Brad Bohannon on, you know. No,
just checking.
No, I mean, I'm not sitting there. Auburn won.
Hey, but
here we go.
I'll tell you,
don't even play the game today.
I'm like super superstitious. Like I really am, and. But I don't look at stuff like that. Like, I look at other things that, you know, it's weird. But, yeah, I like that. We got that going for us.
You look at, like, the moon pattern or
I don't know.
The stars? What are you looking at? Oh, man.
Like, I'll eat the same thing. And it has no bearing whatsoever on the game. But
yeah.
If I don't stop by Sonic on the way to the ballpark and get a double smasher, I feel like we're going to have to play better to win. And so it's ridiculous that I'm that superstitious still to this day.
I don't know. I would say I'm superstitious. I'm just repetitive. Like if I don't take the same direction to the ballpark every day, I feel like I've done something wrong in my life that day. I've got the same route that I take. I get off on the, you know, I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I'm not telling anybody where it is because I think it kind of gets me to the ballpark faster than if you try to take MLK or any of the other roads around here. But if I don't take that route, I'm like, something is going to go wrong in my life today because I've not taken the same route to the ballpark.
I'm going to get on Google Maps and try to find which route
I'll tell you whenever we get off the air. The way I don't know if it'd work coming from your what would you call that? Compound?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call it a compound. Maybe a house.
Okay. moving on. Hey, do you think, you know, there's a lot been talked about this week about the SEC not doing so well at the regionals. Do you think that how a conference performs in the postseason is reflective of the strength of that conference that year.
No. I think, look, the SEC is the best conference. And I've heard a lot of people talk about that. Well, the SEC is not that good. You look at all the teams that got beat. You know, I don't think so, Matt. Now, I will say, I'm not surprised Texas got beat. I'm really not. They just, look, they can't hit. They don't score. They've got some good pitching. I was never in on Texas. You can go back and the very first time I mentioned Texas. It's not because I hate Texas either. It's because I was never in on them. And I look at all these other teams that are that in my opinion are better than Texas. You got to score to win. And I think when it comes to a regional and a super regional, you know, pitching's good. We talked about the LSU starters, but you got to score.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna win in the SEC, I think you got to hit the ball in the gap. You got to hit doubles and home runs. I think you just have to, and they just didn't have that power in the lineup. They had a few guys that could pop it, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting sidetracked off your question. But no, I don't think it means anything. I look back at, 2017 on, six out of the last 17 World Series winners are SEC teams.
Mm.
You know, one out away from, you know, seven out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's the best conference, and I don't know how you could look at it any other way. I think some teams won that weren't the better team. They just played better.
I think the SEC had a lot of teams this year that were able to win one-dimensionally, or like predominantly one-dimensionally. Like, you know, you mentioned Texas, Georgia. They didn't pitch this year, which was crazy to me with Wes Johnson being their coach. Vanderbilt, they hit a little bit toward the end of the year, but they had their limitations, especially, you know, from a power standpoint. I think what maybe the regional weekend drove home to me is that it's okay to be elite at something. I mean, obviously you want to be elite in every area of the game. It's okay to be elite, but you can't be just average on the other side.
Right.
Like you have to be able to be above average to compensate for the days that, you know, whatever you're elite at isn't necessarily – you know, you don't have it that day.
Right.
Like Texas, they didn't pitch great against Texas San Antonio. Or Georgia, you know, they were okay offensively, but you know what I'm saying? It's just you got to be able to have a well-roundedness to you. And I think, you know, that's what I've liked all year about Arkansas and LSU is that, you know, on the days that something's not working, it seems like the other one is. Or, you know, I mean, we talk about Arkansas, the third starter. Well, maybe it's not important that you have – or not as important that you have a third starter when you have Vahiva Aloy in your lineup. You know what I mean? Or a Kahia Aloy or Cam Kozel. All these guys are putting up these big power numbers. You just got to be able to do something more than one thing really well.
I think when you go to Arkansas and you look at them, I mean, offensively, we're really, really good. I don't get too stressed about the starting pitching because we've got so many weapons out of the bullpen. We've already mentioned them, Beitelgeuse, McIntyre, Gackle, Carter, Bybee, Deeds, Fouch, Coyle, Gibbler, Jimenez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of names. Like, we have never – I don't remember at the end of a year having that many go-to guys in the bullpen. Dave's circle of trust has gotten small. It tends to get small towards the end of the year, justifiably. You know, he goes with the guys that are getting outs. But that's a lot of names that he can go down there and say, okay, I want this lefty, I want this righty. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So our starters don't have to be that good. And you go back to being one-dimensional, we do it all. LSU does a really good job. And Tennessee, too. If you compare our numbers, very comparable. I think we're better 1-9. They got some good hitters, and they got some good pitchers. But I think once you get into the bullpen, if it's a battle of the bullpens, we win.
You think you get to be a card-carrying member of Dave's circle of trust?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, look, here's my red card.
It's always nice to be in Dave's circle of trust. So, yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if anybody ever uses that term, but I hear you use it so much that I almost feel like it's real. You know what I mean? It's like – Dave's circle of trust.
You know, I don't know where it started. I remember back during COVID, I used to talk about my circle of trust, my germ circle of trust. you know, Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, you think about it, though. In the past, it's gotten really small, the guys that he'll go to. And this year, man, we got dudes coming out that can get outs. I feel so good about all these guys coming out of the bullpen. I really do. There's never a time where someone walks out and comes out of the bullpen. I'm like, uh-oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel so good about it. Now, with that being said, I love our starters, too. But we can bail out. If like you said, pitching wise, I mean, look at our offense. We're going to score runs. I mean, if you look at the stats in SEC, look at all the categories we're first in.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen it before. I've never seen this many dudes out of the bullpen in the circle of trust,
mm-hmm.
and I've never seen offensive numbers in the SEC like we're putting up right now.
Speaking of which, that's a good segue because I wrote something yesterday. They've got three players with 60 RBI this season. It's the first time since 1998. That Arkansas had three players with 60 or more RBI that year. I mean, think about these names. Eric Hensky, he's pretty good. Rodney Nye was really good at Arkansas. And Ryan Lundquist, those three in 98 all had 60 or more RBI. Arkansas this year could end up with, depending on how things go this weekend or obviously how deep they get into the postseason, they may end up with five players with 60 or more RBI this year because already surpassing it, you've got the Aloy brothers and Cam Kozel. But then you've got Brent Iredell and Charles Davlin. They're both right there knocking on the door. They've got 56 RBI apiece. They've never had a season where they've had five players with 60 or more RBI. The most they've ever had in a season was 1997 during the Gorilla Ball years. Arkansas had four players with 60 or more RBI. But that's pretty incredible.
Some pretty good stat work right there, Matt. Like, how do you find that? How do you I mean,
I'm looking up stats while you're sitting in the revenue office. That's what happens. Yeah.
Hey, I would have had plenty of time. I could have looked up every statistic in the world in the amount of time I sat there in that.
Next time you go
office.
Pay your sales tax, just grab a handful of media guides and take them with you and write down notes.
It was unbelievable. I don't want to revisit that. I wasted 3.5 hours of my life that I'll never get back. And my fun meter was so low when I left that building.
See, I still have to go get my real ID because my fake ID is not going to be able to get me on the plane anymore. And I got to go somewhere at the end of the month. So we're at the point now in Fayetteville where I can't get an appointment until after my flight is supposed to take off. So I'm going to have to go out somewhere else in Washington County where maybe the lines aren't quite so long. And get that taken care of.
I'm from West
Fork. That's what I figured.
Go down to God's country in West Fork. I got a bunch of
West Fork or Lincoln.
Either one.
Yeah.
Lincoln's probably closer for you.
A little bit.
But yeah, people out there are awesome on X. I got a whole bunch of recommendations on how to do it, and then some of them are like, you know, meathead comments.
I can get an appointment in Springdale before my flight takes off, but that's in the middle of the College World Series, and I'm fully expecting, or I'm having to plan at least. Like, I'm going to be in Omaha for about 13 or 14 nights or however long that is this year.
So, are they that booked up that they just can't get you in until then?
I suppose. I mean, you can sit there and, you know, take your number and wait for 3 hours like you did.
I was number 29 when I walked in. They were on 84. And, like, 20 minutes later, they were on number 86. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a bad day.
Oh, man. I'm not looking forward to it. But hey, it'll be a beautiful drive out to Lincoln or to West Fork to get my real ID. No, that's what I do though. I see something and I'm like, I wonder when the last time this happened was. And then I typically know enough people who can help me get the answers.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I got more to get to here in just a minute. Some stats, by the way. Here we are. We're here. Arkansas Super Regional History. This is the stats that I looked up. This was kind of interesting to me yesterday because I looked this up, and Arkansas during the super regional era, so the current format of the NCAA tournament started in 1999. And that's whenever you had super regionals. Before then, they would do like your teams did. You'd go to a six-team regional,
mm-hmm.
and then the
eight-team.
It was an eight-team regional?
I think it was eight-team.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, eight. So, but anyway, whoever advanced from the regional, larger regionals, which I guess they were tougher to win then, would get to go to the College World Series. And then in 1999 comes along, they make the regional fields four teams, then they add the super regionals. And so in that era, since 1999, Arkansas, only nine teams have been to a super regional, not nine programs, have been to a super regional more than Arkansas. And only eight programs have won more super regionals than Arkansas. And I think this kind of goes back to that consistency discussion that we have, that sometimes you can get your mind so focused on just winning the national championship that you don't see the forest for the trees, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you don't maybe appreciate the consistency with which this program wins in the postseason. But these are the teams. Arkansas has won seven super regionals going into this weekend. The only teams that have won more, Texas has won 11. Florida has won 10. Cal State, Fullerton, LSU, and Stanford have won 9 apiece. And Florida State, Miami, and North Carolina have won 8 apiece. Fullerton, they've fallen off, you know, some over the last decade or so. But all those other teams are the teams that are right there with Arkansas at the top of each season. And, you know, before you say, oh, well, you know, they've got national championships and the Razorbacks don't, during this era, I mean, I don't, North Carolina, they've never won a national championship. You know, and it's been a long time for some of these programs since they won one, you know, 20 plus years. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to look at, you know, historically where Arkansas fits into the better teams in terms of winning in the postseason, not winning national championships, but winning the regionals and the super regionals.
Well, you know, it goes back. If you want to trigger me, when you're talking about college baseball, some of these people on X that they always go back to, oh, well, Dave Van Horn's never won a national championship. Who cares? Still the best coach in baseball. I mean, look at what we've done. I mean, I go back to the SEC West titles. Mm-hmm. I go back to all that. Look at all the games we've won. I don't think anyone's won more games than us. I don't know. It's just I get so frustrated with the whole, well, you haven't won a national championship comment. I mean, we're a top program in the nation year in and year out, and that's hard to do, especially in today's game, to be able to reload like we do every year. And I don't know. I don't know. You probably saw the Chipper Jones comment that he put out about college baseball. And I commented on that. And – never even mentioned Tennessee. You ought to see my inbox. All the trolls come out of the basement and talking about stuff that I never even mentioned them. I just said, hey, come watch, you know, Fayetteville. Come to watch Dave Van Horn and the Razorbacks play if you want to see good baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I awoke the morons out of the basement. I mean, it was unbelievable. Never said a word about Tennessee, but I've got hundreds of comments.
He actually followed up on that. And here's the tweet, by the way, if you haven't seen it. This is a Chipper Jones, Braves great, Hall of Famer. He said, quote, spent quite a bit of time watching college baseball this weekend. I'll only watch a select few teams from here on out. The reason, they have coaches that respect the game and their opponents and demand the same of their players. He went on to say, any team that doesn't wear the uniform correctly, taunts the other team, has a coach that condones this behavior, is a disgrace to the game. And then he went on to say he's a big fan of Coach Snall at Coastal Carolina. He's the one who called out Kevin O'Sullivan in the post game the other day. He said he and his team represent what college baseball should be like. Well done, sir. You stand for proper behavior. He never mentioned Tennessee, by the way. Yeah. And there's a ton of people who are in his mentions from Tennessee. Why are you talking about us like this? And he actually came back and said, you weren't one of the teams that I was even thinking about. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I don't even want to step into that.
Yeah, we probably don't want to. But I know where you're going with it. You don't even have to say it. It's unsaid, but it's there. I know what you're. I know where you're going. But you're right. We don't even want to open that can of worms right now. we get off the air. But yeah, it's. I mean, he didn't even mention them. I didn't mention them. And it's crazy. Some of the stuff. Some of the idiotic things that were said. But. A lot of it is about the uniforms. I mean, you've got guys wearing uniforms unbuttoned down to their belly button with no undershirt. I mean, come on, dude, wear your uniform the right way. I came up in the Yankee organization. It's called blousing your pants. We had to blouse our pants. We had to show 4 inches of blue, not three, not five, 4 inches of blue on our socks from A-ball all the way up to AAA. They got a little laxed in AAA. But one of our coaches, Rob Thompson, who's the manager with the Phillies right now, had a fungo bat that had a measuring thing on it, like a yardstick.
Wow.
So he would walk up to us. Now, it was a joke, but he'd walk up to us and say, nope. And it was just funny. But all those little things, you know, no facial hair, just, you know, you had to wear a collared shirt to the field. You couldn't wear shorts. You had to wear pants. Mm-hmm. Ripped up jeans. I mean, it was a look that you had to have because you're representing that organization.
And like the Yankees, they've gotten a little bit more lax on this. Uh-huh. Like they're allowing people to have facial hair now this year. And I think we've even seen Van Horn, and I've heard him talk about this, that maybe he's not as particular as he used to be on some of this stuff. But I still feel like there's only so far you're going to be able to push that before you get pushed back. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I think so. And I look, one of the worst things I hate, oh, let the boys play. Yeah, play hard, play with passion, have fun. Mm-hmm. But do it right. Is that asking too much? To respect the game, respect your opponent. If I strike you out, I'm not. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to do it a certain way. If I hit a home run off of you, I'm not going to look at you and mouth at you all the way around the bases. I don't know. I had some stuff going back and forth with some former players, you know, big league players that played for a long time. And their big thing was, it goes back to, and I hate saying it over and over, is the game was so much better when the players policed it on the field. Mm. It took care of all that. All that weeded itself out, and it was just baseball.
And by policing it, you mean?
Well, taking care of business when it needed to be. If a guy shows you up, then the guy hitting behind him pays the price. Mm-hmm. And you don't want your teammate to wear it in the ribs, and so you played the game the right way. And we still played, you know, we had fun. We played hard. Mm-hmm. It just eliminated all the extra baggage and some of the stuff that goes on now that takes away from the game of baseball. And, you know, I made a comment about, you know, it's hard to take my son to a Major League Baseball game and watch players play because they don't hustle. Mm-hmm. I preach hustle, attitude and effort. You hustle everything you do. Well, you know, guys that, you know, the hustle's gone. Now, I'm not talking about Bobby Witt Jr. There's guys that hustle out there, but predominantly there's a lot of guys that don't. They don't want to hustle because they don't want to get hurt. Same with college baseball. Like, you see a lot of guys just doing stuff, Matt, that I disagree with. And I love Dave Van Horn because the guys have fun, and we do stuff. We celebrate, but we do it in the dugout. I don't know.
I was talking – I'm not going to use his name. This is like an all-time program great, phenomenal Major League Baseball player. I was talking to him a few years ago, and he said to me, you know what's fun? Winning. Absolutely. Winning is fun. I don't have to have all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Winning is fun enough. You know, whenever you can break their – crush their spirit on the other side, that's fun. I don't know, it feels like we're kind of in this weird, and Arkansas and Tennessee are almost like the poster boys for the two different, the two different sides. It's like we're in this weird time where you're like fighting for the direction of baseball. Is it going to go this way, or is it going to, you know, maybe revert back more toward the traditional way? It's just an interesting time, I guess maybe is the way to put it. And I think that's part of what makes Arkansas and Tennessee such a compelling matchup, is not so much how good they have been over the years. They're the two winningest programs in the country over the last 8-9 years, but it's how they go so differently about getting to, you know, that point where they are winning teams.
Yeah, and the team takes on the head coach's personality. I think Tony Vitale, I think he embraces that, and he uses that as a selling point. They like being the bad boys.
He said, you know? He said early on in his career, he said, that's what I had to do to, like, give Tennessee a reputation to stand out from everybody else.
Yeah, it's a shame. What I mean, winning should make you stand out from everyone else, playing the game the right way, in my opinion. I just think we're so fortunate to have DVH here, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade a national championship for any of that other crap any day of the week.
All right, two more things real quick before we get out of here. I feel like in some ways road teams have an advantage at the super regionals, and I feel like in some ways home teams have the advantage at super regionals. What say you?
It depends on the makeup of your team. I think we've had teams before that have played tight at home. Mm-hmm. I think we've had teams that played loose at home. I think this team plays loose at home. They feed off the crowd, and we are really, really hard to beat at Baumwalker when our fans show up and when they're in the game. I thought the Friday 2 o'clock game, full house, kind of quiet, subdued. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because it was a 2 o'clock game. The other two games, the real deal. I mean, the crowd was electric.
I feel like Arkansas as a home, and look, it's a great environment. It's not LSU. It's not Texas A&M. Those two places have figured out, and I wonder when the day is going to come that Arkansas, you know, this gets figured out among the people who go to the games, that when you make noise, when the other pitcher is on the mound, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and they did that. I can't remember what inning it was, but it was against Creighton. Davalin's at the plate. Bases are loaded. And they're on this guy. I mean, he is in the lion's den. And he hits Davalin in the elbow and forces home a run. And then, you know, he got out of the jam. But then we didn't see that, I felt like, a whole lot of other times where they get up on their feet and they're trying to influence when the pitcher is on the mound. Like I said, it's a great game-going experience. It doesn't have the level of intimidation, though, that I think an LSU or a Texas A&M have. Because there's not that constant noise whenever the opposing pitcher is on the mound.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it. Don't you think our fans are more educated and they know when to clap, when not to clap? I don't understand what you're saying.
Maybe.
I mean, that's just a lot of yelling and screaming and.
I guess maybe here's where I'm going with this. I feel like when you go to an LSU baseball game, it's like going to an LSU football game. They are full throated and they are in the game and they're trying to influence it. And same thing goes for A&M. I don't feel like when you go to a Razorback baseball game, they're as full-throated and into it at all times like they might be at a football game or even like Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's weird things that you remember. I remember playing at A&M back in the day, and they were on me from the time I got off the bus. I
mean, like Arkansas got on the Creighton pitcher the other day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they followed me out of the bus into the stadium, all over me. Of course, when you got a name like Bubba, you know, it's a little different. Everything I did on the field, you know, my warm-up swings, one Bubba, two mm-hmm. Bubba, my steps to the plate. And, look, I'd be lying if I said it didn't get in my head. It made me mad, and it made me want to just hammer the ball, and I probably end up swinging at stuff I shouldn't have. But it can get to you. It really can. But, yeah, the Creighton pitcher, they got on him pretty good about his little taps that he mm-hmm. did, 1, 2, 3.
So I guess where I'm going with this is last weekend against Creighton, I saw it a little bit more than I think I see it during the regular season. Does it continue again? We know the crowds are going to be insane.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be hanging from – we might see good old boys putting their tree stands up across 15th Street trying to get a view of this game. Wouldn't surprise me. But can they affect Tennessee? I feel like here's where I'm going with this. There is an untapped potential to make this an even greater home field advantage than it is. And I think it really begins with constant noise whenever the other team is out in the field.
Yeah, I wish we had later games. I think the later in the day, the
louder.
Have you
seen the forecast? You might get a late game.
Yeah, you know what? It's looking better, though, I think. But, you know, if we had a little bit later game, I think it gives us time, our crowd, a chance to get its game face on, you know, do their tailgate and all that. But either way, I think it's going to be crazy, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Last one. We're going to see this stat thrown around quite a bit. Dave Van Horn's 13-2 against Tony Vitello. Why do you think that is? Because there aren't I would venture to say there is not another team since he's taken over at Tennessee that's had the amount of success against them that Arkansas's had.
Okay, so it's a tough one. I usually say that, you know, that's just a stat. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But I think a lot of the stuff that Tennessee does can get under your skin as an opponent. I think Dave prepares the team for that and say, look, they are going to do this. With two strikes, they're going to slow the game down. They're going to mow. They're going to. I think Dave prepares his team for it before it happens, and we're not fazed by it. I mean, we're not, and I think that has a lot to do with it because stuff like that. I know it triggered me back in the day. Little things like that used to just drive me crazy. I think he has the team where they're just even keeled. They're like, all right, yeah, go ahead and do your stuff. I'm going to take care of business my way.
You think it helps talking to the team beforehand about, you know, being able to compose yourself whenever they do call an 0-2 timeout?
I think so, and I think Dave's probably addressed it in the first series. I don't think he needs to readdress it. I think they know they've seen it. They're going to be ready for it. Pitcher's going to stand on the mound. When that dude steps back in the box, he's going to carve him up, hopefully.
Can you think of a more anticipated series at Baum? I can't.
I can't. It's.
I mean, have you seen the secondary ticket prices?
No.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, but I'm getting worn out.
You might be able to get season football tickets for less than a chair back seat, you know, between the dugouts.
So, okay, so one more question. I know we got to go. I heard you talking yesterday. Would it hurt more to lose to Tennessee at
home?
Maybe
when I was playing devil's advocate with Christina? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I caught part of that. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing. And I think she said yes, didn't she?
She did.
I agree with her 100%. I think it would lose.
I get it. I get it.
Okay, you were just playing the other side of it
a little bit. But go ahead.
I think if LSU came in and beat us, not an LSU fan, they play the game the right way, for the most part. It would be different if Virginia came in, if Coastal Carolina. And you lose to them, they go in the World Series. But I think losing to Tennessee at home in a super regional, first of all, it's going to be a long week and on X because of all the haters are going to come out, you know. And I hope they don't if that does happen. But it is what it is. I think losing to them, watching them go to the College World Series, I may not even watch the College World Series because it's just something about it, Matt. And it's me. It's not. I mean, I doubt that other people feel that way. Some might. But
I think a lot of people do feel like
that is going to be tough to swallow because I know this team is better than that team. I know this coach is better than that coach. Tony's a good guy. I'll take DBH any day of the week. I'll take Hobbs. I'll take Nate. I'll take Bobby Wernis. I'll take Clay Good. I'll take DJ Zach Barr. I'll take our whole staff and our whole team over those guys any day of the week. So if we lose to them, it's going to be really hard to swallow.
I get it. I think there are a lot of people that are like you. I would say the majority are like you. But Christina's so composed that sometimes I just try to, like, get her uncomposed. It's kind of fun to do.
Well, you did it yesterday.
I did.
I was proud of her for standing up and saying, "You, no, you're wrong.
You knucklehead." All right, Bubba, appreciate you being here. We appreciate everybody being with us today. We'll be back with another show tomorrow as we continue to get ready for this super regional, Arkansas and Tennessee. Hope that we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everybody.